This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Hey guys, awesome episode with DC Benny, one of the greats in the business. He talks about doing the Chitlin circuit. Then we talk about having a hot female roommate. And we got a guy who got in trouble at karaoke. Check it out, share it with friends. J-Train Podcast. This is J-Train, Jared Fried, coming to you live from New York City's Upper West Side. Stand Up New York Labs are here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. I'm going to say it again. Thank you for listening, getting involved. We keep getting bigger and bigger every week. It's very exciting for me. Keep spreading the word. Keep telling your friends. Keep sending me those Snapchats of you listening. That's so cool. It gets me right into your world. Keep sending me you guys listening to the podcast. It shows me kind of where you're coming from. I've got them from all over the world. JTrain56 on Snapchat. I'm super excited to have today's guest. Pumped to have him on. DC Benny, thank you for coming on.
Good to be here, man. Good to be here.
Pumped to have you. DC's a fantastic comic. You saw him on Last Comic Standing. He's fantastic. At DC Benny on Twitter, at The Real DC Benny on Instagram. We're going to give some advice.
Yeah, that's good, man. I'm looking forward to it. So people are going to send questions.
They send questions and we're going to tell them how to have sex with girls.
That sounds good. People don't know that, huh?
No. So all right. We're going to figure it out for them.
Pretty basic.
Benny and I go way back. You're one of the first comics I ever met.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's funny because I didn't see you for years.
Yeah.
You would come and see me.
Yeah, I'd come see you at your apartment.
And then, I'd give you some advice and stuff like that. I didn't see you perform for years. And then at a place, I won't mention a name, you opened for me and I hadn't seen, and you fucking killed,
oh,
man.
Dude, no.
You killed. And I was like, oh shit, I got to step up my game. You had local references. You're like, hey, there's the guy in the velour sweatsuit. What are you doing?
New people's names. I brought in a bunch of ringers so that they would make me look good in front of you.
So you kill in front of me. So I got to work. I got to work. And follow this guy now. And then over the course of the weekend, you had a threesome.
Don't worry about it.
With the waitresses.
Hold on. There might be my parents listen to this.
But I'm like, this guy's killing in front of me. He has a threesome. And
I don't think I've ever told that story. Yeah.
No. And then I thought, well, maybe he's bullshitting. And then I saw them. You went on stage and you talked about it, but you didn't say the names or whatever. You talked about the experience. And both of them crisscrossed in front of me while you were talking about it. And they both were kind of looking. You could tell it happened.
Yeah, there was a slow motion glare.
I had a new respect for you after that. This guy makes me work. He has a threesome.
Yeah, I think the listeners have a new respect now, too.
I'm walking around looking like, for a Chick-fil-A, and you're up in the room,
So thank you for, tickling my nuts just now. Yeah, that felt good. I remember that, but it's cool because, I say, the whole idea of this podcast, people send in their emails, they have questions, and we try to give perspective from, maybe from an older guy's point of view that has been through this. And, that was you for me. You gave me a lot of good advice when I first started comedy. So,
I'll still try this day.
So happy to have you on. Also, you guys got to check out DC Benny's been around and is such a fantastic comic. You got to go check him out. You have some cool, awesome things that you've been writing lately, some cool stories that have been on like the New York Observer, and you can find them all online, but they're like amazing stories.
Well, thanks, buddy. They're all online. Yeah, there's
there's a Narratively and New York Observer, the one about the Chitlin circuit.
Yeah, I was when I started doing comedy, 28 years ago or whatever, I was a white guy working on the black comedy circuit.
So now, explain the black comedy circuit to the listeners at home. Is there, what is the difference?
Well, I mean, the difference
because
we're
living a time nowadays where, like, there's no differences, but there is.
There is. There still is. It's like they're just these spots, these independent rooms. You go, you make a little money, you get paid a little money.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, it's a black audience. And if you're a white guy and you do well in those rooms, you're a novelty. So you're going to make money and you'll have a little demand. You'll be in demand a little
bit
because
you're like, who's that white boy?
Yeah. It's like the guy who can juggle or whatever. I did those and, you know, a lot of guys came through those rooms and, you know, I wasn't the only white guy. There was like five.
You guys would see each other.
I'd see Voss, Rich Voss.
You see one coming down the other, the north side of the highway. You're going up the south. You're like, have fun with those guys.
Right. Bill Burr. I'd see Bill Burr. There's a couple guys, you know. But it was that, it's like, you know, working there was, it made you strong.
I remember you telling me, like, I was about to do they call them urban rooms.
Yeah.
So I was going to do an urban room and I was telling you about it and you were like, listen, this is the advice. You just go, you're going to kill as hard as you've ever killed, but you're also going to bomb as hard as you've ever bombed.
Yeah.
What was the worst bomb you've ever had in a Chitlin room?
I had, back in DC when I was doing comedy, this guy, Chris Thomas,
okay,
the mayor of Rap City, used to host this
the
show.
The mayor of Rap City?
Yeah.
Okay.
He used to host this show at this place called the Comedy Connection in Greenbelt, Maryland. And the owner was this Indian born-again Christian guy named Raj, and everybody was trying to bang his hot daughter. He had this hot daughter. He'd be like, no. And so there was Raj. So it was just this crazy atmosphere. But I was selling men's clothing at the time. That was my day gig. I was in school, I was selling men's clothes. So I showed up from work all pretty, had like a tie on, little pleated pants and little like alligator shoes and stuff. And I'd been doing, I think I was like six times I'd done comedy, and I went up in front of this belligerent ass crowd and I just got booed. People were like, man, your act is dry. Look, I like them pants. You know, look at them pants. You got more pleats than you got jokes. You know, it was just horrible. It was horrible. I came off the stage. I was like shaking and sweating. Little pee probably came out and I had to hide. You had to walk past everybody to leave and I went off the wrong way. So I just kind of stayed in the men's room for a while until I could, you know, walk out of there. But it was horrible, man. It was horrible.
That is the thing about, like, a black audience won't just talk to each other. They'll let you know that you have ruined their night. Like, they will outwardly. I was once on stage. I remember it was like really early on and my dad was in the crowd with his friends. And next to my dad was this guy with his girlfriend and they were on a double date. It was two black couples. And like, this is just the way black people happen to heckle. He just looks at me and he goes, nah, not next. Next.
That's horrible.
Next. And I just remember making eye contact with my dad and him being like just looking at each other like we were both getting heckled. And I remember I came off stage and the guy came up to me. The guy was heckling. And he's like, yo, let me buy you a beer. I'm just trying to get your game up.
And everybody's trying to help you.
Yeah,
everybody thinks
they're
trying to help you
at all. You just ruined my relationship with my father.
Right.
I don't think you're getting my game up. So all of you should go check out DC on stage and also online because these are such like interesting, funny stories. You have
one about
you and Cosby.
I did the Cosby show.
You were on the Cosby show.
I was on the Cosby show with Robert Klein and Madeline Kahn. And I did that, and there's an article about that.
So Google, go to DC Benny on Twitter, at DC Benny on Twitter, at The Real DC Benny on Instagram, and then Google narratively, Chitlin Circuit, New York Observer, Cosby, and it'll come up. And
there's other stuff, but those are good starters.
I mean, the Cosby one, you're like, I can't, but the, and then
that was
with
the
all,
worst.
With everything that's happened.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the funniest things that's happened out of all that is, I was working with a comic. I won't say his name, but he was blowing up. You know, this is about, I don't know, 2 years ago. He's blowing up and everything. And I was talking to him. I was like, what's your plan? He's like, man, my plan's easy. He's like, I'm going to be the next Cosby. And then all that shit happened. And I haven't heard from him since. Because he was kind of like, I'm like, hey, he's kind of like that. You know, and that was super marketable about 2 years ago.
And now he's in jail.
It was just funny, man. Well,
super pumped to have you here, DC.
Yeah,
let's get to the emails. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. That's JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. This one's called Back on the Horse. Mm. Yo, J-Train, I recently broke up with a girlfriend of a few years. It's been pretty weird so far. As you say, having one less person to text is damn hard to deal with. However, lately I've been talking more with this girl I work with. She's an 889. So we have a rating system here on the podcast. Face, body, personality.
Ah.
889.
A triad.
Yes. Okay. He works with her. Need some advice on how to make this happen. I worry that I'm in the friend zone because we talked about breaking up with my ex and some guy she was talking to. Before that, we casually talked and Snapchatted all the time. How do I move from talking about feelings and land to making moves? Feelings land to making moves land. We have a work people only house party coming up that will present an opportunity, but I want to make sure that she knows I'm not looking to be just friends. How do I push this down to make out and see what happens agenda? Let me know your thoughts.
Hmm. Well, the numbers are good, the 889. Those
I mean,
are
it's
good
a hot
numbers.
Chick. This is a great, but yeah. He also works with her. So you can have this thing, you know, you ever work with someone and you're like, oh, she's definitely into it. And it's like, no, she just, you're her friend at work.
But then if it goes bad, then it's you're bad. Working there, you're stuck there with them, and there's that weird thing at work. So, you know.
But he seems to like her.
He does, but she's not, does he, how does I he, mean, she's given no indication, it sounds like, about how she feels about him, isn't that?
There's very little indication that I need to think that a girl wants me. I mean, I've had girls breathe in my direction. I'm like, oh, I mean, I have a girlfriend. I'm sorry. You know? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I do agree with you. I think this is like waters I would swim out of with the work girl.
The work girl, but yeah, that's tough. But, you know, sometimes it's one of those work things where, you know, what happens by the water cooler after hours one time happens, and then you guys, it depends on her personality, really, right?
Yeah.
If she can, if it does happen and it's good or it's not good, if you guys can move on and be in the same place together without that weirdness.
I think the only answer to his question is physical movement.
Yeah.
So, you know, he has this work party that's coming up, okay? That isn't where you're going to be doing your making out.
No.
You don't want to go to this work party and be like, and just be all over her and let her, you know, because he's right now, he's like, I want to let her know that I want to hook up. Everyone knows. Every girl knows every guy wants to hook up. You know. And I know right now he's thinking, well, you know, he's in his head. He's like, oh, we're just friends. The way you push it to not friends is get her to travel. You want to go from this work party to another bar. You want to keep being like, hey, where are we going next?
That's where you lay the landmines along the way.
Exactly.
Yeah, then there.
And then you, so you, hey, if she's willing to go with you to another bar that gets away from the work people,
boom.
Then she's looking to be a little bit more than friends. And I'm not saying that's like, okay, now pull your dick out. I'm saying,
well, you'll have a good barometer at that situation.
At that point, because then she'll either say, well, I'm going to go out with my friends. Because that's the thing. When you move to that next location, that's when people have their out to get away from you.
Yes.
People are generally nice. So they don't tell you to your face, nah, I'm not looking to fuck you.
Yeah.
They'll just be like, no, I'm going to hang out with my friends. That usually 99% of the time means I just don't want to see you naked.
Yeah. And you're not invited to hang out with my friends.
Yeah. I'm going with my friends and you're going with your friends and you're going to be eating pizza, not me.
But if he's willing to live with the consequences, sounds like he is. If he just takes, you know, if they go to the bar and then he lays it down there nicely.
So what he does is he goes to this work party, hang out with her there. Be cool. Be normal. Keep doing the friend thing because that's not such a bad road to be on.
Not bad.
And then you say to her, hey, I'm going to go to this other bar. You want to go get a drink together? And now that drink together, that is a kind of a half a date.
Yeah. Also, can I just jump in on this? He rated her as an 889. Hmm. Temper that a little bit. You just broke up. But she could be the coolest girl you've ever met, but it's like you just broke up. You know, you got a little skewed view probably of this girl to begin with.
This is the first girl that's not your girlfriend that would talk to you. So that she's the hottest girl on earth, that means.
Those numbers are high.
Yeah.
Those are very high numbers.
That's high. You know, Giselle exists. So I think what he needs to do, you go to this event, you have fun with her. Yeah. Be a friend. Don't try and push this agenda that you're talking about. Then you say, hey, do you want to go get a drink together after this? And see how she plays that. If she's in for that, okay, now you're touching the small of her back at that drink.
Yeah.
Do just a touch and go. Just a little rub to say what's up. And if she's into that, she will give it back. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. This guy writes, PC bitch ruins karaoke. This is quite a
you
title.
Get great questions.
Yeah, this is, they're all over the map. Okay, we're here with DC Benny at the real DC Benny on Instagram, at DC Benny on Twitter. Hey, Jew Doobie Doo. They give different J nicknames. Been listening since May 2014. Love everything you've been doing. Keep it up. So down to the bitch who attempted to ruin my night. So my buddies and I go to karaoke every week in our small town and get pretty wasted doing it. One night, I decided to sing My Neck, My Back by Richard Cheese. So do we know this song? Man, Sam, if you could look this up. A song that obviously drops the N-bomb and talks about licking pussy.
Yeah, and ass too, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I think there's some,
and it's sung by Richard Cheese, who's this like white singer.
Ah,
it's like a rendition of My Neck, My Back.
Ah,
it's not the like
the original.
The
one.
Original. Oh, okay. This is a crooner singing My Neck, My Back. Do it now. We're playing it right now.
It's like Bing Crosby.
Yeah, they can hear this, right?
Pop your pussy like this. Shake your body, don't stop, don't miss.
This is a funny.
Pop your pussy like this. Shake your body, don't stop. Don't
this miss. Is a funny karaoke song.
It's great.
I gotta say, I'm with this kid so far.
Yeah.
Fucking hilarious, yeah. Right? But that's not. Put this on low while we. But that's not what this chick gets offended by. I then sing Springtime for Hitler.
Hilarious.
From The Producers, a musical by the oh-so-Jewish Mel Brooks. Halfway through the song, she starts screaming and insulting me, saying that I should die and deserve to be circumcised with a rusty knife. Ooh, that's a harsh one.
Yeah.
You just told two Jews that. I just had flashbacks. I just shook it off and laughed, but she kept harassing me the rest of the night. She clearly did not understand the meaning of the song, what the movie is about. Just wondering how you would have handled the situation, and as a Jew, do you think I was in the wrong for singing about Hitler in a gay show tune fashion? Keep on rocking that strong medium, and I'll keep feathering your nuts via Snapchat.
Well,
wait, play The Producers. Can we find that while we're here?
You know, the thing is, there's just not a lot to do in these small towns some of the time, so you can't put limitations on the karaoke.
Yeah, they could have been fucking a cow.
Yeah.
At least they were doing something constructive, like singing.
No, people, I'll tell you, there's nothing, there's that, and then, you know, you're going to stay home or you go to Walmart or something, so it's...
Have you ever gotten yelled at by someone like the PC?
Oh, man, after shows, yeah.
Hold on, here's The Producers. I just love the pageantry of such a hilarious song.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, this. I mean, the producers is great.
That's
so
great.
You know. So what do you? You've had PC people come up to you?
Oh yeah, there was. I did a interview with somebody, and I got it was a kid. This kid did this documentary about it came to my house and was like about comedy and stuff like that. Mm. And he said, "Do you think this is funny?" And I got in trouble in class for this. There was it was something about a ride in a park, and he called it the Holocauster, right?
Okay.
And it was in the context of other jokes and everything. Yeah. And all these people got really, you know, anti-Semitic, got really offended and whatever. And then I was like, it's funny.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny.
It's funny.
And then I got all these emails about like the Holocauster and whatever. And then sometimes they do the show about having a German Shepherd. He's always, you know.
Yeah, you do a joke. Yeah. It's great.
That one gets a lot of, I just went to Miami. And to do a cruise ship audition.
Okay.
And it was in the middle of the day. It's like 500 old Jews in the theater. And so I was going to close on that.
Yeah.
And the guy who was running it, he was like, "But you got any material about being Jewish? You got any some material about being Jewish? Because that's all
this guy's black, right?
Yeah. That's all they're going to laugh at."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Well, I was going to close on this thing about I'm Jewish. I got a German Shepherd, bad combination." Always looking at me like he's thinking about the good old days. And that guy just flipped the fuck out. He's like, "No." He's like, "You can't do." He's like, "There are survivors in that crowd." And I looked out there and I'm like, "Yeah, they probably are." But
he's just looking for tattoos.
Yeah. So, but yeah, but man. I mean, people, what are you going to do? People get offended by dumb shit. Like,
here's you know, we work in a world of funny, not funny.
Yeah.
You know, like you heard the Holocauster, the Holocauster, and you're like, funny.
Right.
I agree with that. That's funny. Here's the advice I'll give to this guy is context.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever done, like, I've been doing, I did this joke about, like, it's tough to be white.
Yeah.
And
I remember that joke.
Yeah. So I've been doing this joke and I'm like, but then like I've added on to it.
Uh-huh.
So now it's like a 10 minute bit and it's a lot of stuff about black people and it's funny and it works. But then there's some times where I look at the audience and they're looking at me being like, enough already.
Yeah.
Move the fuck on, buddy. Like, they're, you know, sometimes they're just not
having it. You got to get people to like you first. So totally. That, I think, is the problem. You can talk about anything. Maybe this dude.
This is the problem with him.
The karaoke.
He started with yelling the N-word with Bing Crosby singing.
It's going to create a little chasm there.
And then went straight into his Hitler song. That's not going to rub people right. Yeah. That might, and whether she's wrong, you know, funny, not funny, doesn't live in a vacuum. Yeah. It lives in the context of the situation where for her, the context was now we're talking about it and it's hilarious for me.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's funny, but also, like, I'm thinking of it, her getting angrier and angrier. And I do see where she'd be like, she could come in on that and be like, well, the first one was fine, but now again, he must be a racist. Right. That's where, in her mind. That,
he's
so
gotta
it's
get
like,
a new hobby or
it's,
something.
It's kind of learning when enough's enough. You know, like,
well, also, how did the first one go? Did he kill with the first
that's
one?
That's what I'm wondering.
That probably, you know, if people aren't really reacting to the first, you don't need
if
to
it's
up
just
the
you
ante.
And your drunk friend.
Yeah.
You just have to understand, like, I kind of wrote something for Total Frat Move about this last week where it's like, people, it's like, it's a joke. Mm. And it's like, no, sometimes jokes bomb.
Yeah, it can't sound like a hate crime. Yeah. It's got to be funny. You know?
I was once, before I started doing comedy, I went to visit my buddy in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I went, there were this couple there, and I got super fucking wasted, like gone beyond belief. And I remember there was like a dinner party. And I was like, you know when you're too drunk for the room?
Oh, yeah.
and I'm at this dinner party, and there's this couple there that I met, and her and I are just not hitting it off. And like, she's just disgusted by me, but I knew she was disgusted by me. And I think this is what this kid did. He knew that he was pissing a girl off, and he just went to the next most offensive thing. Yeah. And that's never gonna win you.
That's gonna be fun for you though
to tell later.
Yeah.
And this is kind of the situation I was in with this girl. I could tell I just wasn't hitting it off with her. Yeah. She was a good friend of my friend. And I was like, fuck this chick. And I remember in my mind being hammered and being like, fuck her. And she was with her boyfriend. And I was like, where are you guys from? And they're like, we're both from Louisiana. And I said something like, you should name your kid Katrina. And they were like, no. No, and she immediately cried, ran away. I'm the guy. Now I'm that guy at the party. And sometimes it's not worth doing a kamikaze mission on a good time.
Yeah, sometimes it's about something else.
Yes.
Like you had to really, you know, you got to take someone out, and that's just not the right person,
not
really.
The right one. And so for me, I'm not, she isn't as much a PC bitch as a bitch you caught at the wrong time. Yeah. And so it's like, you have to understand the context.
And the execution.
Yes.
It would be easier to judge us if we saw the actual execution of the songs.
And it would not surprise me at all if this fucking bombed.
Yeah.
So jtrainpodcast@gmail.com, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, this is Joe List, and that's
Mark Norman here.
From Tuesdays with Stories, check out our podcast. Tell them why, Mark.
You're going to love it. It's nothing but laughs, jokes, stories from the road, vagina, and that guy.
Yeah, you're getting laid. We're being silly. Check it out. Find new and archived episodes of Tuesdays with Stories on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn.
We are here with DC Benny, @DC Benny on Twitter, @TheRealDCBenny on Instagram. Go check him out. Go find the columns he's been writing. They're so good and so funny on New York Observer and Narratively. They couldn't have named it better than that.
It's a
mouthful.
It's like, you know, you're going to have to read.
Narratively, I can't even spell this. What are you talking about? Let's go. Female roommate. You ever had a female roommate?
Sort of. Like, I lived in a house with a bunch of dudes, and then this chick was kind of moved in with one of them, and then so she was like in the house.
So she became a part of the house.
Yeah, definite vibe was changed.
This guy writes, my coworkers and I listen to the archives as we get paid to clean balls at our own fraternity at a private golf course. He writes, at Cart Barn Guys Marietta. Check us out on Instagram. So they're at Cart Barn Guys Marietta. You tickle our nuts on a daily basis and can't get enough stimulation. Enough of tickling yours. I live in a house of golfers and friends. Total of four guys and the plus one friends that come by each night. The testosterone is flowing. Always a good time. With the new year, brought a new roommate that so happens to be a 7'9", 10". So it's a chick.
The seven is which?
Face, body, personality. Okay. It's the area code method. 7'9", 10". 10 personalities. She's killing it. We all thought that this angel fell from heaven and landed into our fiery pit of hell. She has actually been the coolest roommate, always nice, but lately she has been too nice to everyone in the house. So everyone's catching vibes. Wow. She has a boyfriend on Facebook, but has yet to tell any of us that she has one. Her cousin, my best friend, small world I know, says he feels she is too friendly with him. Wait a minute.
It's a lot of friendliness, man.
This is like a sitcom episode. I just imagine all four of them. This is like the gay duo.
Oh yeah,
the inconspicuous gay duo.
Ambiguously gay duo.
Ambiguously gay duo. It's like the bad guys just looking at her. I'm just imagining the four dudes looking at her, touching her cousin on the arm, being like, "Your muscles are huge." What? So what's your advice, rules, guidelines of handling a female roommate? I don't want to burn any bridges, keep things in the house clear of elephants in the room, but I've always wondered how those gangbangs bukkake videos come together. Thank you, J Train, for all the great stories and advice. Love the podcast. Keep up the good work. Also send snaps of shits and only the side boob tits to TJMCD123. Always staying PC at BCGC, our course. Let us know when you're in SoCal. We'll tee it up on the golf course.
It's a lot of abbreviating, man. I don't know how you do that.
Totes abbreviate thing on perp. So what do we think? How do we handle this?
This is one step removed from the one that we had talked about before with the work
girl. Yes.
This is, you're living. You're living together.
Yeah.
And she's kind of, you know.
Also, there's like there is a type where there's one girl who's just really good at making every guy feel special.
And some guys don't know when it's just how special that is. Like,
yeah, I went to college with a girl like this, and like everyone, like she made everyone feel like, no, I mean, I had Lisa Ann, the porn star. She came on the podcast at first you're like a porn star coming on, whatever, whatever. Then you meet her and you're like, oh,
she loves me.
She loves me.
You know? I love her.
I love her. She loves me. But I like you in my mind. You kind of had to like fight off this demon of like, go for it, man. Because you're like in your mind, she's a pro at making you feel like the biggest dick in the room.
Well, some women also, know how to make every guy feel like they could fuck them.
Yes.
But that's not really what's going on. No. It's just like you're being made to feel that. And I think if it's an epidemic like that where everybody, she probably doesn't want to fuck
cousin.
Everybody in the
no,
house.
No, I don't think she wants to fuck her cousin.
Probably not.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to, I don't know, man.
Here's the other issue. Someone in your house is going to fuck her.
Yes. Yes.
That being said, one of you is going to get with her. Who gets the golden goose is really the question. How does he play it so he... I don't think you can't push in your chips too soon.
I'm going to predict shortly thereafter she moves out.
She moves out.
Yeah.
She'll find a new crew of men to woo and make feel like shit at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the move is to be above it. I think the guy who acts above the whole thing and gives her shit and doesn't give in to her flirting, doesn't like smile when she flirts with you, give her shit back. Like when you're the guy, that is a confidence play to the nth degree. Like you're literally avoiding everything you should be giving into. And that shows confidence and a little bit like of a hierarchy in the house. Cause one of your dudes is gonna fucking fall on his face with her.
Yeah.
Someone is gonna pull that ripcord too early and the parachute ain't gonna come out.
Yeah, what's almost like, what is that term? A fag hag, but with straight guys.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like that.
Yeah. You know? What is the name? We got to go create a name for that.
I don't know. There's got to be a better, more name for that.
Yeah, more PC. That girl from the karaoke place is pissed. No, but there's got to be like, she's like a bro ho.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, right? That or something like that. And the best thing you can do, I think, from my perspective, is use her powers to get other girls.
Yeah.
She, a hot girl like that, a cool girl like that, has other hot, cool friends.
Yeah, so you say, since we love each other, since we...
Get some more chicks here.
You got any hot friends look like you, blah, 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 blah. And then, like, if you're above it, she's also going to want to... She's going to think she's losing her skills.
Exactly. So you want to shake her up a little bit.
Yeah.
And also, in addition to that, when you say bring other chicks over, come on, I'd even bring up that boyfriend. Where's the boyfriend I saw on Facebook? Like, kind of when I give girls shit, I do it always like it's my Jewish dad giving me shit. Like, so where's this boyfriend we've been hearing about? Like, if you say that, like, because she hasn't brought it up, so it is a thing now.
But how, you could just say, look, how does the boyfriend feel about you living in a house full of dudes? He's can't be too crazy about that.
Well, that can come, I think that comes, like, after the call out with a smile and a wink, like, where's this boyfriend I saw on Facebook? And then you do a wink.
Yeah.
And now she's like, oh, what? You saw that? Yeah, of course. We're all checking you out.
Yeah.
We're all looking at your Instagram. We've been stalking. And you call out the creepiness, and now it's like, yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, because you're buddies.
Yeah,
you're
we're friends.
Yeah.
You touched my arm really sexually, but I didn't notice it at all.
Not at all.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. I like this one. Chicken class with dude friend.
Chicken class.
Yo, J Train, what's up, man? I need your advice. I love how serious this is. I'm 21 years old and I attend community college in Southern California. There's this chick in one of my classes I think is cute. Couple of problems though. I sit near her, but not close enough for the famous J Train side comment. So I've given advice in the past where if you're near someone that you don't know, just say something about the room that she could agree or disagree with. If she agrees, now there's opens it up for conversation. Uh-huh. Like say something about the teacher. Like the teacher, look at this fat teacher.
Look at those corduroys.
Yeah, look at those corduroys. You went with corduroys. I'm like, look at her horrible appearance. And then she'll either jump in or she'll be like, what? And then you're like, oh, she doesn't fucking look at me at all. Second, she and her guy, so the first is that he doesn't sit close enough. The second is that she and her guy friend doesn't look like he's banging her. I like that he sees her with a guy. Yeah. He's like, well, he's not me, so he ain't banging her.
Yeah.
Are always together in class. Even when we have breaks during class, they're still together, so there's no chance of me starting conversation without the dude being in the way. I would rate her a 7-8 question mark. He doesn't know the personality. I would rate myself a 7-8, 7-7-8. And then he wrote, yeah, it felt fucking weird rating myself. I haven't dated much, but I want to get out on the prowl for some ladies. Any advice would be appreciated, even if it doesn't make the podcast, keep it up. What do you think he does?
Well, he's kind of like two questions, right? It's like any advice for that scenario or in general. Is that what it's...
Well, I think his background and himself... kind of fashions my advice. I think he's aiming for a bullseye when he should just be looking to shoot the gun.
Yeah, to crop dust a little bit. There.
Yeah, let's you know, let's play with a firefighter, like with a fire gun instead of a sniper pistol, you know?
What sounds like, I mean, reading between the lines, she's got this male friend that she doesn't look like she's banging.
I mean, I've seen this before. When I was in college, you'd see a girl, there were like, you know, you'd show up to this, you'd have friends in class. You'd have that one friend that you're like, yeah, we study together. This is a girl or the guy, whatever it is. And you just sit together at every class because that's what feels the most comfortable. And that's probably, well, we could live in the world where that's this guy to her.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a, I'm gonna hand it over to you and then I'll sound in, man.
Here's what I would do. Okay. I already know how I'd play this. I think for him, he's got to go meet more girls. He can't become obsessed with this one girl. If he says, I haven't dated much, but I want to get out on the prowl for some ladies, you can't, that doesn't mean go for the one, you know, make this one thing the one that you're going to get on the prowl with. That's not how the prowl works. The prowl works with you eating everything in sight.
Yeah.
and talking to every girl you can to try and get reps. With this girl, if I'm talking to generally someone that is in a class in a similar situation where there's a guy friend in the class, you go through the dude.
I was thinking that. I was thinking that could be an easier way to do it.
Befriend the guy.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have more in common with him than anybody else, than this girl. So you go, you got to go through the dude to get to the chick. You got to go through the
storm.
The dude
might introduce you.
Exactly.
It's organic that way.
How do you know this chick? Are you guys dating? So what you want to do, side comment the dude.
Yeah.
So say something to him about the class. Get on his good graces. Get in his, try to fuck him. Well, you know, it's like, but without
that's
the
a whole other podcast.
Yeah, that's a whole other podcast. But like, really, you're trying to pick him up as a friend so that he could bring you into the girl's circle. Because if they're not fucking, then you know he's probably it's probably more the more probable scenario is that he's been trying to fuck her for years.
Yes,
and he just can't. He's stuck in the friend zone. But you can jump over him as cool guy from the new cool guy from the class. You don't have the friend zone history that he has.
Well, this guy also, it sounds like he needs a little warming up. Like he needs to go out and maybe warm up with a couple other girls beforehand before jumping into this trickier. This is like a black belt situation. Yeah. He's got to get his yellow belt a little bit, maybe a green belt, you know, and then kind of, and then he can kind of ease in this. It'll build his confidence too a little bit. You know,
Advice specifically for him is to go meet other girls. The advice for anyone else in the situation, our more seasoned clients, would be you befriend the guy and then you work your way through. You can't jump, you can't just erase this guy because if you don't look at him with respect, then this girl thinks you have no respect for anybody.
But he can be a source of intel too.
Totally.
Without even knowing it.
What's her deal?
Because he might try and cock block you if he's already banging her.
Yes.
Or has tried to and hasn't. But if you act like you're not necessarily interested and you talk to him and then you get introduced and you can be like, and he might let something slip about her status and you make a mental note, like pretend you're not interested and then bang.
He's
around from the left.
He's the intel. Yeah. Yes, I love that. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com here with DC Benny, @DC Benny on Twitter, @TheRealDCBenny on Instagram. Go check him out, support him. Fantastic comic. We're gonna do one more email.
All right.
You ready for this?
I'm ready for it.
Sometimes we do a high school email, an email from a high school.
Those are good.
I love those ones. Let's say we have some intro music for this.
High school emails. Oh, that's cute.
I love... I want to thank Esther Koo for putting that together for us.
Esther Koo? Yeah. With the pigtails?
Yeah. What's up, J-Train?
No, let me say, it's Karen Margolis.
Oh, I thought it was Esther Koo.
No, it's not Esther.
Oh, it's Karen Margolis. Oh, thank you, Karen.
Both very funny ladies.
Funny. What's up, J-Train? Love the podcast. I listen all the time. I'm a senior in high school and prom is just weeks away. Keep in mind, this is my first year at the school, so real friends are scarce. I've been scouting out different girls that I may want to take to prom, and I thought that I had found the one, a sophomore. I worked up the courage to do a prom proposal for her with roses, a poster, and music. I was extremely relieved when she said yes, and I thought it was over. It wasn't. After texting her about plans for prom, she brings up that she has a boyfriend. Oof. After doing the thing, you got to do your homework.
Yeah, man.
One who she's having problems with. Surprised, I tried to tell her that he doesn't deserve her. Oh, he really went for it. And that they should break up. She responded saying, thanks for the advice, and I think it's over. After that, however, she doesn't respond to any of my texts and stops talking to me at school, even though we see each other every day. After a couple of weeks of that, she randomly texts me asking if we're still going together. I really want to go with her, but I don't want to come between her and whatever boyfriend she has. What do I do? Keep trying to go with her or just show up to prom solo looking great?
Well, this guy, he's
down Schitt's Creek without a paddle.
You think that later in life the mind games get played, but even in high school, man.
High school,
she's trouble. That's what I say. She is trouble.
Yeah, this is trouble.
Yeah, you want trouble in your life, you want to go mess with that, but I don't know, man. He might have to...
It sucks that he's coming from a town. He's in a new-to-the-town situation. I think prom was such a scary... endeavor. You go from never asking a girl out to anything to will you go to the most important thing of my life to date?
And then she has a off-again, on-again boyfriend who she probably got in an argument with or something. Then she texts him a week later.
That's the thing with high school relationships, too. You can't really, you know, worry about them because they begin and end on a whim. You know, it rains one day and it's over.
But nobody wants to know that.
No.
That's a whole other thing. Nobody wants to think about that or know that. But I have to keep going back to this somebody's got some problems. Like, if you think it's complicated now, your prom might just get ruined. You might want
to. My advice for him is very specifically towards him. If he wasn't new to town and looking, because it sounds like he put a lot of work and he put a lot of public effort. Here's my advice to anyone asking anyone a prom: do your homework. Okay, do your. You know, you want to look like a baseball scout. You're, you know, in the war room. You want to look like you're in the war room at the NFL draft. You want to have all the draft picks up, their stats, their intangibles. You want to know, do they have boyfriends? When was their last boyfriend? You want to know all of those specifics before you zero in on your first round pick.
Yeah.
So my advice to him, now that we've gone down the river of he's done the proposal, he's done the flowers, he's done all this shit, you got to be the most stop asking her about the boyfriend. Stop. It's whether she has a boyfriend or not, she's going with you. She's going with you. All you can do is have a great time together. And listen, you got to be the cheerleader of this event because you're there to have fun. You can't wait to go with her. It's going to be a great time. By the time prom comes, they will have broken up and gotten back together 20 billion times. And that can't be your concern. All your concern is that night is going to be a great night because the last thing you want to do is be iffy with her and then have her the night of be like, listen, I don't want to go. And now you're fucking without a date.
I got to say that if she's given him this already, and he puts all his eggs in that one basket and that's all he's got.
Yeah.
And then, but he get the flowers and this, and then there's a high probability the night of the prom comes and she doesn't go.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, then what? Then what? And then you're going to be homicidal.
Yeah.
You know,
I think,
I mean,
that might be better advice.
He's got to be careful. Maybe do a little bit more research. Maybe find out, you know.
Maybe say that you're going now. Just be like super excited about it and start making a second round pick board.
Cast the net a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of see what else is out there and see who would be most. I think with prom, you want to go with who would be most excited to go with you.
Yeah.
That'll make you have a great time because you really want to have that night be one fun night. It doesn't have to be marriage and all this shit. No. It just has to be one really fun night. And you don't have to have sex and hook up. Just have fun. And I know all that stuff. You're like, Jared, you're older. You don't understand. I do understand. The best nights I've had are the nights I've forgotten about fucking.
Yeah. If it happens, it happens. It could also happen later. Might not be that. But just enjoy the night. It could be a really fun night if you take all the pressure off and just go in there and make it a party.
Yeah.
You know?
And that will attract people to you, not away from you. Because when people see he's just sitting there. The third.
People smell desperation. That's the thing.
They smell that. They smell it. They smell the thirst. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Benny, thank you for coming on, man.
Good to be on answering. I feel 10 years younger.
Good.
I learned all these abbreviations and shit.
this is the fountain of youth, my man. You guys should all go support and find Benny on Twitter @DCBenny, on Instagram @TheRealDCBenny. We're going to come right back with the hypotheticals, the news, and some shout outs. We'll be right back. Hey guys, welcome back. Benny, thank you for coming on and doing that. That
good,
was awesome.
Good to be on, man.
So good to finally have you on the show. DC Benny @DCBenny on Twitter, @TheRealDCBenny on Instagram. Chris?
Yes, sir.
Mansamp @Mansamp on Twitter. Mandatory Samson podcast every Friday, along with this podcast, the J Train podcast. Good to have you.
Thank
we're
you.
We're gonna do hypotheticals.
Hypotheticals.
This is like road games.
Ah.
Okay. Sup, J Train. No nut feathering, straight to the point. Would you rather have itchy balls or vagina for the female listeners for the rest of your life or an itchy butt crack for the rest of your life? Both would require less than discreet scratching in public often. Also, send a shout out to my boy M. Valenti, 21. He started dating our mutual homie's high school sweetheart, and I think it's worthy of some nasty beer shit snaps. Okay, so would you rather?
I'm going to go with balls. I'll tell you right off the bat.
Okay,
I'm going to go with balls.
You said that like you were on Jeopardy. I'm going to go with balls.
I can. You can disguise a ball scratch in public much better, and a butt. The type of butt itch, it's up in you.
Yes.
So it's like, it's a much harder thing to ameliorate, as they say. You know, a ball scratch, you know, you can, you know, there's a lot of, it's just, I think more societally acceptable to scratch your balls in public than to dig up in your ass.
Totally.
Logistically.
I hear that. What do you think, Manson?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I was going to go balls. It's easier access. You're not going to feel like you got to wash your fucking hand all right. day. Mm. It's like just better,
I'm going balls. I didn't realize that people care that much about an ass pick. When the other night, I was, this was a few weeks ago, Leonard Utz, who's been on the podcast, you met Leonard?
Yeah. He was up in his ass?
No, so Leonard, I don't know what, we talked a lot about black-white differences, but I remember when I was in, black people will freak the fuck out if they're disgusted by something. like to me, I smell, someone farts, I'm like, kudos to you. I picked my, before going on stage, we were standing next to each other and I picked my ass. And then he just looks at someone and goes, oh, he just picked his ass. And just, he's like yelling it. So then I was like, yeah, but it was through my pants. Like it wasn't a big deal. And then I just took my finger and I wiped it on his face. And I've never seen him move quicker. That guy can move. That guy was, he was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And like, it did like a, he like juked me. And he was so mad that I touched him with the finger. And I don't know if that's a racial thing, because I don't see Asian people freaking out about smells.
I had a friend, a Jamaican friend. I went over to his house, still a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
I went over to his house and I would sit on his bed, and once I farted on his pillow, and he just had that was like the most horrible thing I could have. I mean, he had to take the pillow, he had to wash the case.
Oh,
it wasn't like I shit on the pillow.
No, it was just
I
a fart.
I farted through pants and a blanket onto the pillow, and he just, it was.
This guy touches the subway thing every day and doesn't care about that.
Yeah. It was air. So air. I can imagine. But the ass.
Yeah, you got to go balls.
Yeah.
Let's do another one. Would you rather? Okay, this is a tough one.
Oh, boy.
Would you rather be known for having a huge dick, then when you're about to fuck, actually have a very small one? Mm. Or be known for having a small dick and turn out to have a huge one?
Small dick. Yeah. Easy choice, I feel like.
Yeah. What do you mean? You'd rather have the small dick?
No, I'd rather people think I have a small dick, and then when I pull it out, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, I think I'd have to go with that because you win.
Isn't
in the
perception
end.
Reality? I feel like women get off more to the idea of something than the actuality of something.
Well, the actuality of a big dick, a lot of women don't like. That's the thing. A lot of women don't like that. You know, it's like it's not going to be comfortable.
Too big.
Or too big, yeah. But I mean, it's.
I'm guessing if it's a small dick reputation, you have a perfect dick.
That's a hard thing to have that reputation for having a small dick, though. That's a
tough reputation.
But
you get
you
over
can always
it.
Shatter the reputation. You know, one
the
day
the problem with small actual small dick is you have small dick confidence that goes with it. So I would go. You're right. I'm going small dick rep.
Yeah.
Big dick actual.
Right.
Yeah.
You can always pull it out if you want.
Yeah. But you don't need to.
Let's do one more hypothetical. We'll do one more. I like this. We got a good roll going. And I like this one a lot. J Train, love the podcast. Keep living the dream. I'm throwing you a situation. Want to hear your take. Option one, you can get a very strong boner. And I love DC's reaction. You can get a very strong boner, lasts long enough to make the female happy, but when you come, there's no sensation at all.
Mm-hmm.
Or you come and it feels amazing, but it's a weak boner and she's less than satisfied. Either case, you come so you don't feel blue balls. What do we think?
Wow, that's tough. So the one coming feels good and the other it doesn't. She one is about you and the
and
other is
about her. Yeah, this is tough. This is
I'll sound in after you guys. That then immediately come to me like the itchy ass.
I was going to say, you're not, every time you come, you're not going to be with a chick.
Mm, so you're saying
You got to go with like decent boner, but it feels good.
Yeah,
I mean decent. You can work with decent. You go down on her. You finger. You do.
Yeah, you can add to it. You can add to it. You can add to it that it because you want it to feel
I get off almost more on being good than like if I have a good night, I'm more happy with myself. Like I'm like happier with myself after the good night of fucking.
But you come at the end of that anyway.
I know. Well, I'm just saying this is you know, where my mind's at.
If it doesn't feel good, you're really not really going to want to do it.
I mean, I guess
that's the thing. It's got to feel. That's why you do it because it feels. So
maybe this would
good.
Help me. Right. Maybe I would settle down. I'd find a life with somebody. Maybe this is the answer to all of my fucking problems.
Dude, this thing is making my brain explode thinking about it. Like, really,
I just came in my pants.
Let me ask you this. This is something I've thought about before. If you knew, out of every 100 orgasms you have, one of them was going to feel as bad as it feels good. You know, the normal amount of time,
it would hurt.
Yeah, it would just hurt the same way it feels good. 1 out of 100, it could be the first time you jerk off, you have sex, whatever. Or it could be the 99th time. You never know where it's going to be. You're still going to jerk off. You're still going to have sex. You're not going to worry about it. How do you go about it?
Absolutely.
I'd still go.
Right.
I'd still.
Because 1 out of 100, that's not bad odds.
Yeah, I still eat almonds. You ever had a bad almond? Tastes like fucking trash.
Oh, yeah.
But I still go through those other good tasting almonds to get, you know, I go through those. So let's do some news.
All right.
Oh, also, I'm taking good dick, bad cum.
Wow.
I'm making that choice. Right. You guys are going good cum, bad dick.
I am, yeah.
Oh, jeez, that got me all confused now because we went with the almonds. I lost in the produce section. I lost my mind here. The one that...
That feels good?
Yeah, I think I have to go. That's selfish, but I have to go with the one. I'm not going to do it. If it doesn't feel good, I'm not going
to
do it.
It makes it shows that I'm fucked up because it makes me feel good to just see that face where she's like, I can't believe it.
No, you know, it's generous too, though. It's generous. That's,
I'm a generous lover. Yeah. That's actually my rap name too. DJ Generous Lover.
So they found a sociopath on Tinder. This guy that just sends these insane messages.
I read the follow-up. I read the title of this.
Yeah.
So I had never read the article. But go on.
Yeah, the title is "We May Have Found the Biggest Sociopath on Tinder." It's this guy, Mitchell, and it's just a series of his messages. So I'll just read a few of them, and then we can stop. You see where it's going. Hi, Caitlin. My name is Mitch, and I think you're a pretty woman. I was wondering if you would like to go out on a... Then new message, dick-sucking adventure, my bed. I'm rolling. You gotta like me now, babe. How more could one prove thyself? My dick is half the size of a banana if you take the stems off. I wear jean jackets. Sometimes I use my own ejaculations as hair gel, and it just keeps... It's just a series.
See, I do this on Instagram a good amount.
Right. Yeah. I read some of those things. Wait a minute, it's Jared, not Mitchell.
You said sociopath, and I was like, oh, let's hear this freak, and then it's me. Yeah. This is the shit I'm doing. I'm on... If you guys want to follow on Instagram, Jared Freed on Instagram, and I post... Bumble conversations. I like to think that mine are a little bit more...
Yours are fun.
Thoughtful fun. And funny than this. This just sounds like a guy who loves himself.
Yeah.
He thinks he's hilarious and sometimes jokes bomb, as we talked about earlier in the day.
He's got a little ADD mixed in too, probably.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
I don't know. I don't... Sometimes I see some of these and I'm just like, ugh. You know, like, I do think there's a fine line between being funny and being a total fucking asshole. And if he's just coming out and saying this right away, there's no setup to this. It's just him being like, suck my dick.
Yeah. it helps if you have a little, there's some context with it, but it's a little weird.
I know. And sometimes I knew he was psycho with the first, what was his first line?
Just, hi, Caitlin, would you like to... You know, go on. I forget. I closed the thing, but it was very formal.
Yeah, it was very formal. If you're that formal on a dating app, you sound like a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
Hi, Caitlin.
Yeah. Hi, Caitlin. My name is Mitch, and I think you're a pretty woman. I was wondering if you'd like.
She knows your fucking name. The minute he said his name, I was like, ugh, I don't know. This is a serial killer. Let's. Thank you for bringing the news.
Yeah,
that
course.
Was fun,
good
Benny.
News.
Thank you for coming on.
Good to be here.
It was so good to have you. You got to go. I want to read one follow up email because this is the feminist follow up. We had a girl writing in that she was a bad feminist because she wanted a guy to take control of her relationship, but we thought it was great. We gave her advice.
Oh, I love getting these follow ups. This is great.
Yeah, J Train. Thank you for the advice that my would be, could be, should be relationship getting him to wear the pants. I took your advice without knowing it before you replied to that email. Sort of. I kind of just came straight with him, and it turns out he was pushing me away for a reason. I don't understand, but maybe you will. He's Jewish, and I'm not. And I and I guess he didn't want to get too close to me because of this reason. I don't get it, but then again, I don't have the pressure of having my religion define my relationships. So now I need you again. What do I do? Is there a chance that I should just give up? You're a genuine dude. That it's fantastic. Love the podcast. You're great. I much appreciate it. Well, there's two Jews sitting here.
You better convite. You gotta convite.
Well, I'll tell you this from experience. I've used this excuse. And listen, it's a technicality. He's basically saying it's a technicality. It's like being like, it's like being 2 feet weren't in bounds.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, he's just looking for something that, because what he's saying is you're a nice girl for someone else.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to say that because that's a tough thing to say.
Some other Jewish guy.
Some other Jew will defy his mother, but not this Jew. You're not that good enough for me. So my advice is move on. You'll never get the answer you want. And this answer they gave you is literally like, the biggest excuse, I was just at a wedding this past weekend and someone didn't show up because she's pregnant. She was like, it was in Miami. The wedding was in Miami. And she goes, you know, the Zika virus.
Oh, yeah.
You went down the excuse list to number 50.
There's no big head babies at this wedding.
Yeah, I think you'll be fine. I didn't even see a mosquito when I was down there. So I hear what she's saying.
Was this a Jewish wedding?
Yeah, it was.
The Zika virus.
Zika! So I'm just saying, it's not. Whoever will be with you will be with you no matter what, and just get away from this dude. It's not going to happen. So, Benny, thank you for coming on.
Good to be on, dude.
Good to have you. Mansamp, thank you for bringing the news, being involved with this.
Absolutely.
If you guys have an email, these have been fantastic. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. I'm Jared Free, JTrain56 on all platforms. Guys, we'll be back next episode. Thank you for listening. Keep